Happy to be joined now by Glenn Healy on the line right now. Glenn, thanks a lot for doing this. I know it's your time off now. I mean, you work so hard during the season. It's so long. It's seemingly never ending. And here you are now. Travis McKenzie, our producer, is calling you up on a Monday morning. That must be nice.
It's all good.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
We're talking hockey.
Right.
We can't be
no,
doing
that's
anything
it.
Worse than that.
You're right. I'm not going to ask you to do any manual labor or anything. You're just talking on the phone.
Summer's here, which is good. Winter officially ended on Thursday.
Yeah.
So we're doing fine.
All right. We are. Nazem Kadri's doing fine-ish as well. He gets the one-year deal. Can't be a UFA for another couple of years because his birthday is just late enough that it gets in under the wire. Is this a huge year for him in that it either forces the Maple Leafs to break the bank and sign him to a long-term deal, or they finally cut bait with him at the deadline?
Well, I think the whole league is kind of looking at Nazem and seeing what kind of player truly is he. I look at the deal and people think it's kind of like, you know, kind of a pauper's pittance, you know, $4 million or just above that. It's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
A reasonable deal and probably where he would be kind of best suited. I mean, he's going to be the third or fourth highest paid forward on the Toronto Maple Leafs, which, you know, the highest paid guy's a guy who's not even playing in Horton, but he's going to be paid as one of your top guys. I mean, you look at the third and fourth highest paid forwards on Chicago, you're talking Hossa and Sharp.
Yeah.
So for Kadri to kind of get that freight, he's not at the $5 million range. He's not. That would be Kessler and Filppula and Brassard for the Rangers or Jamie Benn, who was, you know, up for a major award this year. Those are the guys that make five. So to me, it's a contract that kind of fits where the Maple Leafs are. It fits where Kadri is today. And it's up to him to show the hockey world that he is a bona fide game player who can play in June. And he's relied upon. You know, when you look at just strict numbers,
yeah.
I mean, in games where the Leafs lose, he's a minus 26.
Yeah.
So he's an impact when they lose. In games where they win, he's plus 19. So he's an impact when they win. So he has to decide what kind of player he wants to be, and I would imagine Babcock would tell him pretty strictly and efficiently, you better be a 200-foot player. And the contract is fair, it's appropriate, and now it's up to him to show the hockey world what kind of player he truly is, and not the player who misses meetings or is late for meetings or gets suspended by the club because of off-ice activity. I want to see what he does on the ice.
Yeah, that's the kind of... It's the thing that's maybe not most interesting, but definitely something you have to mention when you're talking about this signing, because so much was made about Phil Kessel and the lack of conditioning and yada, 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 and the work ethic, whatever. He put up numbers, but, I mean, he's never been suspended by the club. We're talking about a three-game suspension, and it's, I mean, there's missing meetings, but Brendan Shanahan was pretty veiled in his comments about, you know, more than just missing meetings, there's a history of something going on with Nazem Kadri that he needs to turn around. I mean, is there an argument to be made that there's more culture issues with Nazem Kadri than there were with even Phil Kessel, and he was sent out of town?
Well, every team has kind of a culture. Every team has a leadership group that makes you accountable. And, excuse me, with the Chicago Blackhawks, with Jonathan Toews, there's no ever questioning what's accountable or level of preparedness or what you have to do when you practice. Forget playing in the games. I mean, you are there to play and to practice at a level that is expected by the club. That was significantly missing in Toronto. And when you watch the four players that leave practice first every day, you say to yourself, it's the same four every day. Why is it that they can't wait to get off the ice? And what kind of culture does that create? Well, one of them is gone, so they've had enough of that culture, and so they're going to revamp a new culture, and it will be under Babcock, and it will be under a new group of players, and if Kadri is to be part of that, then he is going to have to kind of assume more of a leadership role. But all of that being said, you know, you're kind of learning from your leader, and your leader wasn't sufficient enough to stick around with his $64 million contract and decided that it was appropriate to not salute fans after a win.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason that he's not playing in a Leaf uniform anymore. You're going to have a new set of rules here, and we'll see how these players respond to a new level of expectation.
I'll get back to Kadri in just a second, but now you've sparked my brain into a different direction, because yes, Phil Kessel was part of that salute gate, which I'm kind of with you. I have a tough time putting in the rearview mirror, but Dion Phaneuf was the captain of this team. He's still a member of this team. Do you expect him to be gone by the time the season starts?
No, I don't. And I say this in respect to Dion as I watch him play through the whole year. I don't think Dion ever mailed in a shift.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever took a shift off or a game off. I could say that about Kessel.
Definitely.
I could say he took games off. He took weeks off at times when it was easy to play and it was fun to score and there was lots of room on the ice. No problem. Put me on the ice with Chara, a little bit more difficult, probably going to take this one off. I don't see that with Dion. I see a guy who works hard, maybe shouldn't be the captain, maybe shouldn't be relied upon with the minutes he's relied upon, but he's a guy who doesn't mail it in. And it, maybe our expectation of what we have there is a little bit too high, and that's why the criticism is there. But for me, it's a guy that I would keep.
Talking to Glenn Healy, Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada, NHL analyst, the offseason continuing, Maple Leafs signing forward Sean Mathias today as well. But Glenn, Tyler Bozak's a name that's also been thrown out there in trade discussions. If he is traded before the start of the season, that makes Nazem Kadri the de facto number one center on this team. That could set up for a pretty big season for him. I mean, the Leafs are going to be lousy, we all expect, but somebody's got to score. Somebody's got to provide the points. And it's almost looter and a riot territory if you're Kadri and maybe you're playing alongside William Nylander. Could set up for a big season points-wise for him, and he could get paid.
Well, I would, you know, kind of limit the expectation. You know, if you look at the Leafs, they've got probably around $30 million spent on all of their forwards. And to put that kind of into perspective, the Chicago Blackhawks have about $28 million spent on two players in Kane and Taves.
Yeah.
So we're well behind the kind of the push to be a team that's an offensive juggernaut, for sure. Two players at 28 and the entire Leaf forwards at 30, just over 30. So, you know, I think you have to take some baby steps here. It's clear the direction that they're going in. The expectations are not as high as they were, say, a year ago when we potentially were talking. They are on a full-blown rebuild, and it's, with the acceptance of the board that they're going to do it, and they're on their way. So this is kind of the start of it. You look at their contracts, they're not locking into term. They're not locking into major comp. They're seeing what they have and deciding which players want to stick around based on their play on the ice. The decisions are going to be easily made by management, by the coaching staff, based on how guys perform. And if Kadri performs, and he does it with the players that the Leafs have, because they're going to go out and compete, and Babcock will make sure that they do, then he'll get the contract that everybody's talking about. And if he doesn't, he will be wearing a different sweater in a year.
Okay, what about the Mathias signing today, Glenn? 27 years old, 18 goals last year with the Canucks, 17 of them were 5-on-5, so pretty good even-strength player. And it's a one-year deal. Seems kind of perfect for the Maple Leafs, where if he has a good season, not unlike what they did last year, they just flip him at the deadline for more picks.
Well, you look back a year ago when David Booth was their darling.
Yeah.
Because the anal idiots thought that he was an absolute dream. How did that work out? Well, this guy has some pure numbers and is a guy who is dependable. But back to the earlier comment, which is they're not tied in with compensation that's erroneous, and they're not tied in with term. And they can see what they have in this player. He's a dependable guy who works hard. He's not a young guy by any stretch of the imagination. He's been around before. So it's a plug-and-play player that the coach can rely on. And that's the whole thing with coaches. You have to be able to trust the players you put on the ice. That's the bottom line. If I can't trust you, I can't put you on the ice in situations. And I think he's a player that Babcock trusts.
Glenn, appreciate you doing this on, I guess, your off season, and it's sunny outside. Maybe there's some golf to be played, bagpipes to be played as well. I don't know if you do that outside.
Probably today's the only day that I could beat Rory McIlroy.
Yes, although you think on one bad wheel, he could probably still take you.
If I forced him to walk the course and not take the cart, I think I'd have a chance.
Yeah, maybe. Glenn, thanks a lot for this. Appreciate it.
All right, have a great one.